Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's John Orlando back here on a new episode of the PVD Cast. Very happy to be back here. You know, episode 42 was the end of the hiatus. I'm ready to go. I got a lot of cool things lined up for the PVD Cast in the future. I'm looking forward to just getting back out here on the airwaves, throw out my opinions, my viewpoints, talk to some guests, whatnot. And with that being said, I'd like to talk a little bit about the episode you're going to listen to here. In an attempt to try to get out ahead of my production schedule, so to speak, last Saturday, May 3rd, I sat down with a gentleman that I've known for a very, very, very long time. We've been real close friends. We were roommates for a very long time as well. His name is DJ Steve O.D., and he's a DJ that's kind of like, you know, kind of like what the PVD Cast is. Very grassroots, very independent, very innovative, whatever you want to call it. You know, he's out there in a couple of clubs here in Columbus, Ohio, trying to get the word out about his gigs. He's been doing it for a while now. And I thought, hey, it'd be great to have him come on, talk about some upcoming gigs, help him out a little bit. And since we're such good friends, you know, just kick back and talk about stories, you know. And he's very passionate about music, so I know he'll be sharing those opinions. So right after this quick break, kick back and relax and enjoy episode 43 with DJ Steve O.D. Yeah, I'm breaking it off a little funky for you, ladies and gents. John Orlando, the host of the PVD Cast. I want to talk to you about Stitcher Radio. You've heard me say it 100 times. Stitcher is the best app for your podcast needs. You don't have it, then what are you waiting on? Go over to Stitcher.com, find out how to download it, or if you're pretty tech savvy, go on over to the App Store, download it, get it on your phone. It doesn't matter if it's an Android, doesn't matter if it's an iPhone, doesn't matter if you have a tablet. You can download it and take your podcast with you anytime. You can listen anywhere you want, whether you have a Wi-Fi signal or not, whether you have a cell connection or not. Stitcher is the all-encompassing place you need to be for all types of podcasts, whether it's news, entertainment, sports, politics, whatever topic it is, Stitcher has a podcast for you. And if you need some customized recommendations, Stitcher will do that for you too. Hey, what can I say? I mean, it's just the bomb, which I don't think anybody says anymore. But nonetheless, Stitcher Radio. Go over to Stitcher.com, download the app, get it so you can listen to the PVD Cast and all the other thousands of podcasts that are available to you. Do it today. All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, bringing you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. Joining me here is a good friend of mine, DJ Steve O.D.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much.
First of all, I'm just going to tell everybody at home, we both have colds, so there could be a coughing spell or a sneezing attack or who knows, so please bear with us on that.
Yeah.
So, how long you been sick?
Oh, a couple days.
It's, same with me.
Yeah.
It's, do you think it's allergies?
Maybe. Yeah, definitely. Last couple years I've had allergies.
Yeah.
Developed them, which is just awesome.
Well, no, you can develop them.
Yeah.
You know, because last time, like, I went to the doctor, an allergy doctor, they told me I'm allergic to cats. I've never been allergic to cats in my whole entire life.
No, they say it's every so many years. Is it on a set, like 7 years? Like, your body just totally reorganizes itself, and you can all of a sudden be allergic to things you weren't ever allergic to.
What?
So, yeah, that's a great thing to happen. Because I was never allergic to anything, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, like definitely
pollen,
whatever
trees.
The hell this is. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
So, but yeah, the up and down Ohio weather. Oh, people say Ohio, but even for Ohio, this has been really, like, really bad this year.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. Well, anyways, we're here. We're going to discuss a lot of topics. Topics I know that you're very passionate about, such as music.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I've said many times on this podcast, I like to feature folks that got independent thoughts, independent ideas, independent things going on in their lives. And you, DJ around town here at various different venues, such as Double Happiness.
Yep, yep. Yeah, Double Happiness, great. The coolest spot in Columbus, yeah.
So. And a couple other places as well, here and there.
Yeah, yeah. We've been doing, me and my DJ partner, Shondi Spider Throat, we've been doing a goth industrial night called the Suicide Ball for 4 years now, so we're set to have our big 4-year anniversary, which details of that I can't really discuss right now. It's top secret.
Wait a minute. Seriously, 4 years?
Oh, yeah, it's been that long. Yeah.
You're. This is no joke. It's been 4 years.
Oh, yeah,
seriously?
It has been, yes.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Time flies, man.
All right, but that's always at the Rivari Room, anyways. Right?
Yes, yeah. It's I've been at the Rivari Room. We've done a couple now at Kobo Live, which is in that same area, which is a really great area. I mean, yeah, you got Rivari's and Hound Dogs. You got Bossy Girl and Ace of Cups are like the big places there. Hot Rendezvous Hair Salon is right there too. So.
Which is
that
kind of
area,
north edge of OSU campus, the north edge, right there before you get to Clintonville.
Yeah, yeah. Right after Hudson, right around Hudson and High.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So there's a lot of cool stuff in that little area. What is it? Revolutions Per Minute Records is there. Kobo Live, which used to be, was that Old Fields on High, a long time ago?
I believe so.
Yeah,
yes.
So, now we're. Yeah, so we're just looking to see what's going on. Kobo's closing for renovations for a little bit, so. But like I said, yeah, we got a big anniversary coming up in the summer for 4 years of doing the Suicide Ball. So. And I do some various other DJing gigs here and there too. So.
What's the coolest gig you've had so far? Because you did one at the A&R Music Bar, right? Wasn't
Oh yeah, that's right. Lance, who does the remix on 102.5, and he does the
it's kind of like the after parties, if you will.
Yeah, the after parties
for certain concerts. Yeah.
Oh, what does he call it? Damn it. I feel bad. Lance is like the coolest guy, Lance Keeney, and he let us do a joint Suicide Ball sound off. That's what.
Yeah,
it's
sound off. I was gonna say the remix, but no, that's the show.
Yeah,
that's
the
radio
show.
Yeah. Anyways,
so
the sound off.
So yeah, we did it for Marilyn Manson and for the Rob Zombie shows, which are close enough to our genres of music. So, I mean, no, they're good shows. I mean, it's not what I normally listen to, but you know, yeah, me being an old fart, being a 90s alternative rock guy, so that's that was really cool to do those. So, and it definitely helped our Suicide Ball, like, get new people interested in coming out to that night. So that was cool. And
so, question: yeah. Do you get annoyed when people make requests?
Let me preface that.
If they're cool requests, I assume you're not annoyed, but
stupid requests,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you have that. You just have to, like.
What's the stupidest request you've had?
Oh gosh! No, I remember when I DJed at Outland. This dude comes up and wants to hear like Typo Negative, which I'm like. I totally not about playing that, but and then he like so, and I told him, I'm like, dude, I'm.
What was the excuse? You don't have it? Do you even have it? That would be a question. Did you have Typo Negative?
You kind of there's these DJ rules about like you're never supposed to say that like you don't have it. Because it's the whole right. Like if you just tell me, you know, like I ain't playing your fucking song. Like,
well, right. Yeah.
They'll probably leave, and you kind of want them to stick around and drink. You know,
sure.
To drink in your bar while you're playing the music, right? So there's always that kind of, oh yeah, we'll see what we can do. I'll get something like that on, or you know, like, oh yeah, I can get something similar on, or yeah, you have to be kind of vague, right?
So, okay.
There's this whole funny. YouTube clip about DJing and DJ pet peeves and that kind of thing, where the guy talks about stuff like,
What are some of the pet peeves?
Like, stuff, like, when people say, is like, you know, the biggest thing is, like, when people come up and just say, like, I want to hear something dancey.
That's dancey, like, yes. That's very, like, that's very descriptive.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, you know, in theory, all music is danceable. So, like, to say you want to hear something. No, I remember one of the first suicide bombs we did, right? It's like, and it was early at night. I think it was just some rando, like, you know, bar people. And, which is funny, because it was like 9 o'clock, and the little lady was, like, trashed. And it's like, she comes up, she's like, and I'm playing Bauhaus, and she's like, this is terrible. Can you play some good music? And I'm like, lady, like, yeah, you're in a goth night, and I'm playing Bauhaus. If you don't like that, you should probably just, like, cut it off, right? Like, just cut your losses and go somewhere else, because it's not going to get any better for you. Like, and it was just like, yeah, this is just terrible. And I'm like, well, what would you like to hear? It's like, just something good. Like, this is terrible.
Something good.
Like, so then it's like, yeah, so then of course it's like the, like, well, let's see this. And I'll play something even more obnoxious. Like, so,
I do remember a particular one time, real quick, somewhat a similar story. We worked a show in Rittman, Ohio, and there was a gentleman who rode with another wrestler, and he ended up getting on the show because we were short a couple guys,
yeah.
But he didn't bring music. And, you know, one of my duties at OCW is to be in charge of music, you know, yeah. Getting guys' music, putting it in the computer and that. So I looked at the guy, and I think he wrestled under the name of, like, Johnny Lightning or something like that. I think his name was Johnny Lightning, I think. And I go, dude, what do you want to come out to? And a lot of times when that happens, a guy will just give me, like, a genre, and I'll go, okay, let's see what we have in the catalog, and I'll work through things.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This guy gave me carte blanche. He goes, I don't care anything. I'm like, all right. So I went, and I was like, what do I want to hear? Sandstorm by Darude. He's coming out to that, right? And I guess he told Adam Michaels, he actually is playing this fucking music. And Adam, who was repping the match, says to him, he goes, I was backstage. You said play anything. Shit. So I guess the guy was a little bit miffed about it, you know, that he had to say something in the ring to Adam. But I was like, well, you said anything. And I thought that would fit him.
Yeah, right?
Sandstorm, Johnny Lightning, you know?
Sure,
why he's not? A face. You know, it's kind of got a poppy feel to it. I don't know. I mean,
I'm going to have to say that I don't even know that song.
Really? It's this terrible, like, early 2000s techno song. If you hear it, you would know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Not to try to be too cool and like.
Yeah. No, it was
pop music.
But yeah. No, it was. It was pretty bad.
Oh wow.
It's cheesy. It's all got out.
That's funny. No, I remember. Didn't I do? I did a couple of your shows with
FIW.
Yeah. Where like I was the music guy and oh yeah, R2 that was unit. Bad.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so bad because like yeah, I did have those people come up and just like.
No, like, I remember the cool story.
Here's my song, and it was like, oh god, I'm not really. I gotta.
But you come on, share the cool story.
Oh, is that
with
the
Nigel.
One?
With Nigel McGuinness.
Oh, yeah, he liked what I played. I can... No, it's also blurry now. I'm trying to
really?
Remember.
I remember.
Didn't I play, like, some Chemical Brothers?
Yeah, because he didn't bring any music with him, and he just said simply, play something British. And you were like, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think it was Block Rock and Beats, actually.
Is that guy even... I think that guy's British for real, right?
Yeah, straight from England. Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, he's a big star now, isn't he?
Yeah, man. So there you go.
I brush with greatness.
Well, now wait a minute. Don't cut yourself short. You've had brushes with greatness. I mean, you know, you've interviewed quite a few folks because prior, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you had your own radio show as well, internet radio
again,
show.
Again, it's been that. Yeah, sort of internet radio show /
the
podcast,
Fury.
I guess. The Fury, yeah, which is on hiatus. Yeah, I kind of... That was an exercise in failing upwards, I guess. I managed to somehow score these interviews with some people that, like...
Well, go ahead, name drop. Come on, this is what this is all about.
I mean, I guess my relatively biggest, I mean, William Control, who's really big right now in the underground scene. Lords of Acid.
Right, because I was at that show with you.
My hugest, like... Yeah. Dudes from Chem Lab, 16 Volt, which are big... 90s industrial rock bands. don't know. I'm trying to think who else. There's been a few other cool bands. Band called I Scintilla from Chicago. They're really cool people. You know, kind of a smaller indie rock band, but
none of them like disappointed your like conception. No. You know what I mean? Think.
No, you know, I was like going to shows for oh god, like how many 20 plus years now, like since I've been out of high school. Like, I mean, you know, I've met a lot of people. There's only one story and where I met a band and the dude was like a total jackass to
me. Who was it?
I don't know if I should say on a thing. Oh, what the fuck. It was this, like, industrial band called Kevorkian Death Cycle, and the guy was...
Oh, yeah! I remember this story.
Jackass to me, because I'm like...
Yeah, I remember this story.
And hey,
it's
like...
Are they even around anymore?
Supposedly they're doing a comeback, but it's like, I'm still, like, miffed and don't even care and don't want
to... Wait, before you get to the story, where were they from? They're not local, are they?
They're from, like, L.A. So, okay. And they right, were kind of were... big in the 90s.
Okay.
They were on the big, like, Metropolis Records is, like, the big indie... industrial label in the United States, so and they put out a couple albums, but yeah, they did a tour. We went to see them in Cleveland, and a friend of mine had a zine at the time from my name Jim Simonic, and he interviewed the band for his zine. It's a total like 90s crap, but not his thing, was crap, but yeah, it's just to, you know, zines like but it's just funny to
even... Now, wait a minute. Time out now. I guarantee there's no, like, 18-year-olds listening to this podcast going, I don't know what a zine is. I'm sure the age-appropriateness for this podcast is around our age. So, anyways.
But, yeah, so he... And it's one of those shows where, like, there's probably, like, a dozen people that friggin' showed up to the show anyway, but... I go up to the guy, and he's not even the main guy. He's, like, I think he was, like, a hired guy, and he's, like, the keyboard player, right? And I'm, like... Like, hey, good show, man. And, like, you know, like, I've talked to people, and, yeah, it's like, you know. Like, you'd think, like, just like, oh, hey, thanks. But, like, he literally looks at me, and he's like, oh, are you at a, do you have a zine, too? And I'm like, no, I just came to see the show. And he's like, okay, goodbye. And he, like, literally just walks away without, without quantifying my, like, great show, like, comment. It's just like, what a dick. What a fucking incredible dick. I pretty much can't listen to their music now without thinking about that and getting pissed off.
But you know what? You and I went to a concert here in Columbus where I think the opportunity for that to happen was off the charts, because if you remember the 16 Volt show that we went to. Jammers West were, I mean.
Yeah, there was a lot of shows I went to in the 90s where like. Yeah, in that kind of, like, late 90s were, like, yeah, a lot of people really weren't there for...
Yeah.
I think it was literally me and you and our buddy Eric.
Yeah, I remember there was, like, 11 people that stayed, because apparently this tour was terrible. Jammers West
was terribly booked.
Jammers West was out in the middle of a really rough neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. It was, like...
Central Avenue and Sullivan Avenue.
And it was... Oh, God. And it was advertised horribly. So, like, nobody... There's people in town that didn't even know about it, and, like, I think we...
Yeah.
I came up to stay with you, I think.
Yeah, and there was 11 people that stayed to watch 16 Volt, because they had booked, like, Shitty Local Band 1, Shitty Local Band 2, then there was, like, the tour opener, and then 16 Volt, who didn't go on until, like, 11:30, but those guys were really
cool. That was
probably
later than that.
Yeah. I mean, they played like a 45-minute blistering set and then hung out with us.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool, because that would have been the perfect opportunity to go, fuck you guys, we're getting out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was
a... like, Eric Powell's a great guy, the main guy from 16 Volt.
Yeah.
So, and, I ended up interviewing him like a few years back, and
What was your first concert that you went to? Do you remember?
Oh, way back in the day, it was a Lollapalooza.
Was it?
So that was the year when I graduated high school, and that was the year that Alice in Chains was the. Well, it was actually Primus was the main band, but we actually left like halfway through Primus's set because they were boring as hell. It was Alice in Chains was like right below them on the bill, and that was like at the height of their like right when Dirt came out. at the height of their big like popularity, when what Rooster was the big song, and I mean they were great. But I mean Rage Against the Machine was on there, Tool, Front 242 was on there, Arrested Development was like the rap act of the tour. I mean they Fishbone was there, and they all freaking great.
That's one, you know, Rage Against the Machine's one band I regret never seeing live.
Oh yeah, I think they're better live than on their records. Yeah,
yeah,
so
yeah, I really that. I actually had a conversation with that with a fellow coach. I was like, "That's one," and he agreed. That was one band that I wish I could have seen.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
well, them and the Beasties kind of like lost some cool points on. Yeah, they preach their whole like revolutionary status, and then they like had a tour where it was like $100 for tickets, and it's like, really, dude? Like,
well, yeah, well, I think to an extent you have to be a sellout a little bit in order to make it.
Maybe, I guess. I don't know.
Anyways.
Yeah. I think the most I've ever paid for a show, I guess it'd be Nine Inch Nails, but that's still under the $50 mark. I just, once it gets up there, like, I just can't justify, like,
well, like I said on the previous episode of the PVD cast with my friend Bauman, you know, there's lots of cool concerts. I'm like, I would go to it, but as soon as I hear Ticketmaster, I'm like, those $10 tickets are now going to be $25.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. I ain't going now. You know, just to see a band that maybe I know two songs for. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing that. Forget it.
Well, bullshit. I mean, I don't know. I kind of never really had a problem with Ticketmaster, just because everybody else that's not Ticketmaster does the exact same thing.
Well, so like, I guess you got a point there, sure.
It's that whole, like, well, but I thought the whole, like, anti-Ticketmaster movement was to try to make it better, but when you just have other companies that do, yeah, that charge the same thing, like, the same outrageous fees, like, what's the point? At least Ticketmaster's well-organized. Like, I hate dealing with some of the other, like Ticketweb, because it's like, it's ticket webs. So it's mostly online, so you can't go anywhere and buy the damn ticket. And
what tickets do you have for upcoming shows? Because we're getting into the summer concert series here.
Man, Columbus, for me personally, is really sucking this year as far as concerts. But I mean, I've got Churches,
right?
My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult's gonna play Scully's in June.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that should be cool. I'm trying to work out to DJ at the show, but I definitely will go to the show anyway. I mean, I've seen them like 20 times. Like, they're probably one of my favorite bands to see live.
Are tickets on sale now?
I believe so. Yeah, it's around the $15 mark. So that's not too bad. I could just, anything less than 20 is like good. Yeah. Yeah, once you get past $30, and it's like, really? Like, but, yeah, I don't know. It just depends on how often they come around. But, yeah, Churches, another band called Polisa is playing at the Basement. I don't know if that's, the Basement sucks.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I had a friend that wanted to go see Bare Hands, and I do like their hit that's out right now.
Yeah.
And they were, it was, again, I think a low-dose show of $5.
Yeah.
But as soon as he said, it's at the Basement, I'm like, fuck that. I ain't going.
Well, the CD-1025 factor were like, I love CD-1025. But, yeah, it's like people definitely come just because their name's attached to it. I don't know if their name's attached to that Polisa show. I don't know if they play them.
But, I don't know, but I don't like the Basement. The Basement's got to be the worst.
But, yeah, once you get any kind of crowd in there,
yeah,
it's
you
really
can't
hard,
see,
though.
You can't move. I went to one show there, and it was frightful.
And then when you go to the back of the room, it's like,
yeah,
like you can't hear it. It's
right.
Like crap.
Because, right, which, by the way, for those that don't know, literally the Basement is a basement. It's the basement to the A&R Music Bar. And it's incredibly small. It's incredibly oddly arranged.
It's this weird, like, it's a whole corporate model of trying to, like, artificially create
coolness.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're going to take this space and renovate it and try to make it look like a dive bar, but, like, it's not a real dive bar. Like, Bernie's, like, at least is, like, the real deal. But, like, yeah. But you're gonna, like, yeah, you're gonna make this fake, like, space that, yeah.
But yeah, you can't.
But it's
you can't
just
move
shitty.
If there's a crowd. You can't move around.
No,
if you are in the back of the building or the back of the space, you can't hear real well.
Yeah, she wants revenge play there. And actually, I stood outside with the smokers because they had the door propped open, and I could hear better outside because the stage is right at the front door.
Yeah.
Than where I had to stand inside.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
It is probably I want to say one of the worst venues I've been to.
I'm always going to be a fan of the band over anything. Like, I hear people saying that they just will refuse to go to the basement. I'm like, eh. I wouldn't go that far. Like, I've almost thought about it, but yeah, it shows I was on the fence about anyway. But if a band I really like is there, I'm going to go see it. It's just, hopefully nobody shows up so I can actually see the band instead of just hear them.
What's the farthest you've gone to go to a concert?
I mean,
you're a concert goer.
I go out to Chicago, you know, once or twice a year over the last couple years. So, I mean, I guess that would be the farthest, I think. I almost saw a show in California, but that didn't work out, so.
So Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago, I guess, would be. So, eh. I mean, but gas prices are ridiculous anymore, so I would never. A few years ago, 10 years ago, I'd never think twice about hopping the car by myself and going to, like, Cleveland to see a band, but now it's like, no, dude.
Nah, well, man, that's the economy of things.
It's just ridiculous. Chicago's nice. You got that mega bus, and then I'm trying to watch out for that cheap for a concert coming up in September. So,
yeah, mega bus is like a discount Greyhound, so to speak.
Yeah,
it's a bus. It is literally a bus, and it's like $5-6.
I don't know. It's this thing where, like, it's almost like an urban legend where it's like, look, you can get it for $1, and it's like, supposedly I know somebody that knows somebody that's ridden it for $1, but, like, any time I ever go on it, like, I think the last time I was trying to go to Chicago, I was, like, literally waiting, like, every day where I'm like, okay, is this date
going
to
come
up?
Can I ask? And it was how much was it?
It was still, like,
round trip.
I think I got a round trip for like $30.
But hell, you would have $30 just one way in gas.
Oh yeah,
so yeah, it's not bad. Because I was gonna say, I hear that they mega bus a new deal is like $4.99 from Columbus to Pittsburgh.
Oh well, yeah. So yeah, you can get it cheap. It's just one of those things where like you have to book far enough in advance.
Yeah,
but then the dates that I'm looking at aren't even available yet. So it's like,
yeah, that's the kicker.
You have to kind of. It's one of those things where you got to watch every day.
So like airlines. Just like airlines, man. Yeah, you got to fly anywhere. You got to look. You got to stay on top of that shit. It's almost like a part-time job, you know, to get a decent flight, you know.
Yeah, and
a decent price flight.
I don't have the patience for that a lot of times.
Well, yes.
Like, it's, like, ridiculous. Like, it's always the one day you don't look, and then they're like,
yeah,
that's when it pops up, and now it's, like, $10. And I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. But, yeah. So. Flights are $25.99. God damn it.
And also, sites that say they'll give you promo codes for like Megabus and any other company are like, that's bullshit too. And it's like, you just go to like some spam site and it's like, motherfucker, thanks for wasting my time. So, but, I'm surprised I didn't get like a virus when I went to the site.
Wait a minute.
But
I got to poke fun at you at that one. Why did you believe that promo code was correct?
Because I Googled it and it said, like, promo codes for Megabus. Click here. And it's like, well, okay, that's.
And then you click and it's like, sounds do you like legit. Busty cops?
Well, no, not that bad. But it's like, yeah, it's just this lead around to like, well, why don't you try a Greyhound? And it's going to be, I'm like, what? Like, I'm not even talking about
there wasn't a link to Avacare there. Would you like to join Avacare?
Yeah. So that's like it. Yeah. So. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, anywho. All right. Well, one of the other things, real quick, I just want to touch base on because I mentioned it on the last podcast. You are a huge Doctor Who fan.
Yes.
The challenge has been made for me to host an all Doctor Who podcast.
Well, hey, yeah, that's
well, but I don't know much about Doctor Who.
What do you,
so, like, if you were to just humor me on this,
yeah,
if you were to quickly summarize Doctor Who in say like 6 sentences,
oh geez,
can you do it?
Oh, to be the ultimate
Well, like, no, I mean, like, could you just clue somebody in? That's clueless. Listen, I know a little bit. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that there's the police box, which is the TARDIS.
Yeah.
You get inside of it, he travels through time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I mean, and one of the beauties of the show, it's ever evolving. So, it's, the police box is, like, the only stable thing in the history of the show. So, you know, the
because the villains have always changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and you know, you have the Daleks, which they came pretty much to the second story that they did back in the 60s. So, like, they've always been around. But, yeah, you have the Master, and he's changed, you know, because, and, you know, for the people that don't know anything about Doctor Who, you know, the Doctor can change, like, if he's injured, he can regenerate, which is what they call it. I mean, they came up with it when the first actor was kind of too ill to do the show. So instead of just casting another guy that looked like him, like, they just decided, like, oh, he'll change and he'll magically be this other guy that, like, totally played the part differently. So,
but that worked because yeah. it's science fiction and it's time travel. Sure, okay.
I mean, it's the ultimate plot device to make the show go on forever, right? And now they just rewrote it because, like, sometime in the 70s, they decided, like, well, he can only do it 13 times. And now, like, it's actually reached that point. Although they did cheat a little bit, but, don't want to go into minor details. But, yeah, so now they decided...
Well, what's his main objective? What's Doctor Who's main objective as he travels through time?
He's just kind of a wanderer. But
A general do-gooder.
Ish. It's one of those things that if you go into it too much, right, it's like...
Well, why hasn't, like, Doctor Who gone back to stop the assassination of Lincoln?
Because you can't... There's some things you can't change. But then there are some things you can change, but...
So he knows the rules.
Yes,
is that what
yes,
it is?
Yes,
he knows
yes.
rules, what he can change
he
can and what
he see,
can't.
Yeah, he can see
okay.
the timeline.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, so...
All right. See, yeah, I'm learning. Yeah, yeah. I'm learning. So, I can't host a podcast on something I don't know anything about.
That's true.
Yeah. That would make me look weak. That would make me look
weak.
Well,
you can moderate, right? That's why you
I guess. I would, that's pretty much what I would be, a glorified moderator.
Yeah, yeah. So, but hey, right? It's a wise person knows what they don't know and then brings in, you know, seeks advice from people that know more.
Okay, so, well, there you go.
That's what, or something like that.
That's know. Where, you but, heard that somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what...
But yeah, no. But yeah, I mean, Doctor Who's the hero, the hero that doesn't try to use violence to solve his problems, and tries to use
women. So then,
understanding and reason.
Wait, time out. So then, how does he defeat the bad guys?
Through wits and intelligence and outsmarting.
No, wait a minute. Is his bad guys like all the other bad guys? Like, you know, let's be honest. Like, the stormtroopers can't shoot anything straight.
Yeah,
the Cobra troops can never shoot any G.I. Joe.
Yeah, that's the Cybermen are pretty much the same thing. Yeah, they can't ever shoot anybody.
All right.
But it's always been, you know, it's a British institution. It's a family-friendly show, but it's not... It's a family show, but they don't talk... It's meant for kids originally, but they never talk down to children, so it's very...
Well, of course not. It's Britain.
Yeah, so
yeah. I mean, I don't want to be that guy. But let's be honest, the British children are probably a little bit smarter than some of our children. Anyways, all right, switching gears from go ahead, finish your thought.
We can just talk about Doctor Who. There's a new there's going to be a new guy in the fall, and so I think he'll be awesome. And
is he the 14th Doctor?
Yeah, technically, I guess he would be they lost guy. So yeah,
is it like the Four Horsemen in wrestling? There's been like 17 people in that stable. Anyways,
yeah, yeah. Well, they when they rebooted the show, like, it was number 9, but the surprise for the 50th anniversary was that there was actually a missing Doctor that was in between the TV show, the original show, and when they restarted. So was the guy that. The character played by John Hurt was the, which they just refer to as the other Doctor, so they don't mess up the numbering system, right? So Matt Smith was the 11th Doctor that just quit, so technically, I think they're calling Peter Capaldi the 12th Doctor, but So,
do you think it'll ever end? Do you think they'll ever go, all right?
I mean, they just had the 50th, so I think at least in in our lifetime, I mean, it's kind of... I would honestly say it's kind of had reached its peak, and it might start to kind of wane down, but I don't think it's ever going to totally go away now. I think, as far as the BBC is concerned, it's a big cash cow, unless it just really craps out. Like, I don't see it getting canceled. But the and it's an institution where the fans have helped keep it along. During the time when the original show went off, a lot of fans actually like created like fan fiction, and then they started writing novels. And
was there any erotic fan fiction?
I'm sure there is. Yes, yes. They call Slash. Yeah, that's not good. But they do these things. This company does audio plays now called Big Finish, where they use a lot of like the surviving actors that have played the Doctor in the past.
The greatest Doctor ever.
Jeez,
not Tom Baker. That's the only one I know. Tom Baker. He's the ones I know. Tom Baker.
He's doing those audio plays now after saying he would never go back to Doctor Who. So.
I know Tom Baker. He's the one from the 80s, right?
Like yeah, late 70s, early 80s.
So. All right, I know Matt Smith.
Yeah, he's
the one. And Tennant. David Tennant?
Yeah, he was the one before. I like Patrick Troughton. He was the second Doctor, so back in the 60s. I like the 60s era, the black and white. Is really cool and kind of hides some of the hokier effects.
Right.
The old show is not known for having great special effects, but...
Because they didn't have a large budget, did they?
No. It was always... this one, when it came back, it was given a much larger budget. Another thing, too, like with comics, I mean, like Doctor Who's always had different production teams. There's never been a... I guess in the new era, there's more of a central planner, because you had Russell T. Davies, now you have... Stephen Moffat is the producer.
Oh, yeah.
And
right,
the showrunner,
right.
But that's the thing, too. So you're... And Stephen Moffat's rumored to be leaving soon.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to speculate on any internet geekery gossip, because that stuff annoys me. Right. But who knows? But, I mean, yeah. And then that's the... Again, with the beauty of the show is that, like, much like the actors can... You know, because you have the Doctor, then you have the companions who they come and go.
Are they always female?
Largely.
Right?
I mean, that's the formula, the male Doctor, the young female assistant.
Uh-huh.
You know. There's still rumors that they might eventually do a female Doctor, which I don't know.
As it was recorded on this last episode, with Bauman being at Awesome Con... In Washington, D.C., Billy Piper was there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
She seems like somebody that would, like, not really be cool to fans. I don't know.
Really? Because, you know what? That explains his story. His story was that, like, you had to pay money to get autographs from the media guests, you know, but she was, like, you couldn't even take pictures. Like, there were security guards there that you couldn't take a picture of her from, like, 50 feet away or whatever.
Yeah.
Really?
And she wouldn't do individual, like...
I don't know.
Like, pictures with people.
For money.
Yeah,
you had to pay.
I mean, I'm sure she's nice.
Why do you think she's a bitch?
I didn't say that. No, she's done some interviews where it's like she kind of comes across like she's over it. She's really like she's too cool for it.
Oh, okay, one of those type of deals.
Yeah, I don't know. But, okay. I mean, you know, I guess if she's doing the convention, she probably,
Well, I don't know, man. You know?
I mean, most of the people that do the Doctor Who conventions are really, like... grateful to the fans and really fan friendly.
Sure.
So, there's actually like a chance. Indianapolis, there's this thing called the Indie Pop Con at the end of the month.
End of May?
Yeah. All right. And they got Sylvester McCoy, who played the seventh Doctor in the original series. And he's also played Radagast in the new Hobbit movies.
Okay. So, all right.
But he's going to be there, so I might try to go out and get an autograph.
I just got a
It's like, what do you even say to those people? It's like, yeah, I like the thing you were in. Like, I don't know. It's like kind of weird, but...
Really? I would say, man, hey, you know, I think you just you know, I've always enjoyed your work. I mean...
Yeah.
So. For the few folks that I've met that are, quote, famous, end quote.
Yeah.
And I say it that way because I think that, you know... I think fandom, or fame, if you will, excuse me, fame has different levels, you know? Yeah. I mean, like I shared meeting Jim Steranko last fall. Oh, yeah. There's lots of people who are like, I don't even know who the hell that is, you know. But to comic book geeks, that's, you know, you know.
Well, yeah, deal. It's like, yeah, like, I mean, I have a whole book
for
shows where I've had meet people from Ministry, people from KMFDM, Thrill Kill Call have signed, you know, Front 242, and yeah, I think most people, Moby would probably be the biggest person I've met, but.
Side note, speaking of TV, have you catch the Community episode that's done all like G.I. Joe?
No, I didn't get that.
You haven't seen that yet?
No.
Oh, you gotta have to check that out. It's really good. Lots of tongue in cheek humor.
Yeah. So,
as a fellow G.I. Joe enthusiast,
yeah.
You know?
Which I don't know. So, what? Yeah, but you didn't like the movies. I kind of liked the movies. I did not
like the first movie.
Did you even see the second one?
No, I haven't seen it.
See, the second one's a lot better and a lot more closer
to the mythology.
It's like
they did a
Highlander where they tried to like kind of retcon the first movie, and it's like
that didn't really happen that way.
Yeah, it's like we'll kind of glance over it, but like we won't really mention what happened. Like, yeah, it happened, but like we can kind of move on.
That was my big gripe. That was my big gripe with G.I. Joe: The Rise of Cobra. You already have, not that I want it to be exactly the same.
Yeah.
But you have a mythology that's laid out.
Yeah.
And let's at least stick to some continuity of it. And there was no continuity to it whatsoever.
So, but I mean, yeah, I think this one gave, I mean, the comic fans and the toy fans, I guess, a little bit more. Like, there was some cool, like little stuff in there. And then Cobra Commander looked more like Cobra Commander.
And it
really set it up. I mean, it was a good, and it's turned into a good vehicle for The Rock as like an action, you know, star. And there's talks about doing a third one. I think it would be good. Because they really kind of even like sort of setting up for a third one where like Cobra Commander would really be like the big bad guy. So, which, I don't know if you've seen it, but he really isn't, like, the main bad guy in the second one. It's kind of still more Zartan, but,
And I think that G.I. Joe is one of those properties, like Star Wars, as of the last, like, 4 or 5 years that have expanded its universe, because now, I mean, with IDW Publishing and the comic books they have, Christ, like, 7 monthly titles of varieties, so... You know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. To be honest with you, there's so many G.I. Joe comics, I can't even keep them straight.
No, I
can't even collect them all, and I haven't even tried.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, whatever. Well, but yeah, but check out that Community if you can.
Find it
somewhere, you know, on demand or wherever. You know, because I think NBC puts their stuff online, doesn't it?
I believe so. Yeah,
I think they have most of their stuff on there. So.
Yeah. No, I like Community. I just don't catch it all the time.
No, same with me. But, so, all right, well, we're getting up around the 40-minute mark here. With that being said, anything else you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about here?
I do. Of course, like tonight, I'm doing a DJ night, but obviously in
podcast this is going to air past that date. Yeah. So.
but I do a monthly at Double Happiness, so I should be back there the first Saturday of June, and it's called Night Call. We'll kind of do sort of new wave, real electronic stuff. I mean...
What would be some of the music that you would hear if you went there? Like Pet Shop Boys?
Yeah, Pet Shop Boy. Any kind of thing like kind of futurist sounding, so like the Human League, like Depeche Mode, Gary Numan, and then modern stuff like... obviously, like, take the movie Drive as an inspiration. Like, the music in that is just amazing. Like that Kavinsky song, which is called Night Call, which is what I named it after. And, like, Chromatics and a lot of these new bands, they call it, like, chill wave, that kind of use 80s synth sounds, you know. So, but yeah, it's a cool laid-back night, definitely. I like to do nights that are different than your kind of standard... You know, thump, 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 like, all night long, like, the same. All
right, gotcha.
But, I mean, and there's a real skill to that, too, but you know, I'm still kind of old school. It's almost like I'm doing, I did a college radio, and it's like I'm still, just kind of doing my college radio show, but in a club, so, but,
All right, so where can people catch catch up with you, like, in other words, to find out where you're going to be. You got Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram are DJ Steve OD. I mean, I've got my personal Facebook page, but there's a Facebook page for the Suicide Ball.
There you go. Yeah, because I was going to ask. I thought there was one.
Yeah, and there's one for the Fury, but I'm probably not using that too often right now. So, but
is the Fury on a permanent hiatus or temporary?
I just
came back to doing this podcast. I know how life gets in the way of shit.
So I'm toying with the idea of now doing a podcast instead of doing it as a radio show because I had a couple bad experiences with internet radio stations, and then the last one I did was at that community FM that's here. I'm blanking on the Columbus Community FM. Is that CRS? Is that what?
I think so.
Oh shoot! I'm sorry, but yeah, they're really cool people. It's just it's hard to do a weekly thing and keep it going when you're also trying to work and do other
things. Yeah, you're pretty the choir on here.
But yeah, so it looks like Saturday, June 7th, we should be back at Double Happiness.
Cool.
Spinning the crazy tunes.
What about Rivari Room / the Suicide
Ball?
That's
kind of watch this space at the Suicide Ball page to see. So we're planning something for the summer, but it's still kind of in the planning stages.
All right, that's fine.
I don't know. Cool. We don't want to announce it too soon. It's that whole, like, trying to promote and get people in. It's like, yeah, you don't want to announce it too soon and then people forget about it.
But right, no, most definitely.
You don't want to wait till the last minute and expect people to show up.
Gotcha. So, okay, one more time, Twitter and Instagram.
DJ Steve OD.
All right.
So
there you go.
And, yeah, and Doctor Who fans, I post a lot of Doctor Who stuff on Instagram.
Actually, he does. That is true.
You know, I'm big into the action figures and take pictures of action pictures of action figures.
But so, you don't do like that movie Marin Call, right?
No, I'm not, you don't map things out, like recreate
scenes and that.
No, no, there's not like.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, because that dude ended up, you know.
That was an amazing movie.
That was a great movie. If anybody doesn't know, you need to see Marin Call. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's an amazing documentary about a gentleman who, quite frankly.
It's kind of sad, really.
It is sad. He gets the shit kicked out of him one night outside of a bar in by five guys.
Yeah,
almost dies. Has some brain injuries. He can't remember things, and basically he starts to remember what his life was like by recreating or kind of creating this little village with action figures in his backyard.
Yeah,
and just takes pictures of them, and he ends up becoming somewhat of an unlikely like artist from it, and finding out stuff about him about himself.
So
check that out. That's not Orlando's fave, by the way, for this episode.
But
nonetheless, Marvel Call is pretty badass.
Yeah.
I dig it. So,
all right, cool.
All right, well, with that, ladies and gents, I'm going to throw this to a quick break, and then I will come back and give my faves, as well as talk about a couple of upcoming dates for yours truly. So, Steve, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, yeah, thanks, dude.
Cool.
Later.
Big Fun Columbus. What is that, you ask? It's simply the greatest toy store on the face of the planet. And it's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Shimmy on down to 672 North High Street in the Short North. And you can check out all of the various different toys that they have. If you listen to my previous episode of the PBDcast where I, John Orlando, did a complete entire episode from the store, you know that they got everything you could imagine. You need wrestling figures? They got them. You need McFarlane toys? They got them. He-Man? You got it. G.I. Joe? You got it. Star Wars? Legos? Whatever you need, whatever you collect, they got it at Big Fun. And guess what? If they don't have something, they got a wish list. You put it on there, they'll try to get it for you. Man, oh man, you got to go visit the guys and the girls down at Big Fun Columbus. Once again, they're at 672 North High Street in the Short North. You can check them out on Twitter at Big Fun Columbus, or simply go to Facebook, facebook.com/Big Fun Columbus. Check it out. Get down there for everything that you need in terms of collecting, or hell, if you just want to go down and relive your childhood like I did, stop on down to Big Fun Columbus and check it out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, John Orlando back here at the tail end of episode 43. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation I recorded last week with DJ Steve OD. Like I said, we've been friends for a very, very, very long time. He's a good dude, and I hope that if you want to check out some really cool avant-garde music, check him out at one of those different places that he's going to be at, with the Rivari Room, Double Happiness, or wherever, and definitely follow him on Twitter. Well, before I get into a few upcoming dates and also talking about Orlando's faves, I guess I'm going to kind of rant a little bit here. Maybe it's a new segment, Orlando Hates, if you will. You see, I know no one that is independently wealthy. I know no one that can afford to waste their money. I had an experience where a company, a very well-known company, wasted my money. And I'd like to maybe warn everybody out there about this particular company. And I know that that might be a little bit pushing the envelope, but I really don't care, because I think it's really, quite frankly, shitty what this company has done. So just to back up a little bit, and I'll explain. As I've said many times, I'm incredibly lucky to have a young lady who I have been in a relationship with for the past year. And really, in all honesty, she's been great for me. She's the voice of reason when I am unreasonable. She supports me when I sometimes don't support myself. You know, and everything that a great girlfriend does, she does. And I love her to death. So I decided that for this upcoming Valentine's Day, just a few months ago, that I would do something, you know, a little bit different. Something I haven't done before ever. And I got her a couple of gifts, but I decided to get her a little something sexy, if you know what I'm saying. So I was out on the internet and went to what I thought was the premier company for sexy something-somethings, Fredericks of Hollywood. So I placed an order. I followed their sizing chart that is available on their website. Okay? And, you know, again, doing it all on the download to surprise my girl. So, followed all their instructions, sizing-wise and whatnot. Placed an order. First of all, the order was placed on January 4th. When did I receive the materials? January 17th. I actually called a few days prior to the date in which I got the items to complain and to ask about where, oh where, my things were. Because I got an email telling me from Fredericks of Hollywood that they were shipping it via UPS and I could track it. And I did. One day, it left their particular California facility and went to Arizona. All right, a day or so later, I checked in and it went from Arizona to somewhere in Indiana. A couple days later, it was somewhere in Indiana and it was transferred to Columbus, Ohio. So I'm like, great, I'm going to get these things here real soon. A couple days go by, I don't get it. I check back in. Here, I am told that my product is headed to Portsmouth, Ohio. Wait a minute. That's the opposite direction. So I called to complain about that. I was told that I should have received an email saying that my products had been kicked over to the United States Postal Service. Oh, by the way, I didn't. And that it would be here shortly. Well, again, I described how I didn't understand it would take essentially 13 days to get to my house. I was told that, of course, you don't count Saturday and Sunday. Okay, whatever. But they assured me that I would have it. So, lo and behold, I did get it on the 17th of January. So, fast forward to Valentine's Day. Apparently, the bottoms of this little sexy something-something did not fit. Okay, no big deal. Things happen. I got back on Fredericks of Hollywood website and found out how to return something. Okay. And the option that they gave was that I could print a particular, I guess you could say, receipt or label or whatever, package it back up, take it to any UPS store, and they would ship it out. Though, there is this really oddly phrased little bullet point that they put at the bottom about something about a charge being deducted or charged to, and it was really obscure. And the way that I read it and comprehended it was that as long as the particular package was not over X amount that they had listed, that UPS would ship it for free. Okay. I went to the UPS store, dropped it off. They said, great, we'll send it out. Boom. About 4 weeks later, I get an email that they processed my return. And that I was only getting back 50% of the money that I had spent. So I called them. And the young lady that answered, obviously, she's just, you know, the representative. She's the customer service rep. She doesn't own the company. I mean, and I understood. I wasn't a real dick to her. But I explained the process to her. And she then explained that in that particular oddly phrased bullet point, that basically you are charged essentially a restocking fee, okay, to return an item. That's the charge that UPS charges them to send something back. Which, number one, I think that that's kind of shitty to begin with, all right? And number two, as I explained to her, I go, then how was I supposed to return this item? Was I supposed to go to the post office and mail it back to you? Of which she said, yes. So then I retorted with, you mean to tell me that I would have spent money to send back this item that doesn't fit, even though I followed your sizing instructions on your own website? And the young lady said, yes. So basically, Frederick's of Hollywood, the worst, the absolute worst company in the world. And I told this young lady this on the phone, exactly what I'm doing right now, is I will tell everybody, man, woman, child, doesn't matter, never to buy anything from this company because they are essentially going to fuck you out of your money. Now, many of you who are observant probably have seen on Twitter that oftentimes I'm shooting out anti-Fredericks of Hollywood messages on Twitter. I am, weirdly enough. Must fall on deaf ears. They must not give a shit. Further evidence of why you should not give your hard-earned money to that company. Oh, and by the way, just a side note. I found this weird that they claim this is their policy and it's been their policy for years. I ordered a pair of Adidas running shoes from Adidas.com. They sent them via UPS. Was at my door in 4 days. And their return policy is, hey man, if you don't wear them outside the house, you don't like the shoe for any reason, send it back free of charge, and we'll give you credit towards something else. Wow, that's great customer service, Adidas. Anywho, avoid it, folks. Avoid it. They're going to rip you off. You want to join me on a little hate campaign at @love_Fredericks on Twitter. Let them know that they're the shittiest company in America, and they should be ashamed of themselves. And by the way, Frederick's Valley, I still want my goddamn money back. So there you go. I'm letting y'all know out there. Avoid them. They're thieves. And that concludes the first installment of Orlando Hates. Hate, 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 hate. All right, let's talk about where I'm going to be. All right, because I got a lot of things coming up here. And actually, one of these things I'm dropping on you brand spanking new. May 17th, OCW, Ohio Championship Wrestling. Going to be out at the National Guard Armory in Newark, Ohio. 7:30 bell time, I believe. You can check out all the information at OCW Online on Twitter. You can go over to the Facebook page and check out some of the information that's going over there. Or check out the newly redesigned website, www.ocwrestling.net, for all the information how you can get tickets. Who's going to be there? Well, you know I'm going to be there. And actually, I just want to announce this right here on this episode. I got the okay to do it before the show in Newark on the 17th of May. Live recording of the PVD cast. We did one in Coshocton a few months ago. It was a blast. There were some snags. There were some hiccups. But I think I'm going to straighten those out. Come on out a little bit early, probably. Though I can't say just what time. Just follow me on Twitter, @PVDMVP, and I'll tweet out the time, but probably we're going to look in 6:30-ish, if you will. Come on out. We're going to have a blast. Ask any questions you like. Be interactive with me, live PVD cast before the big OCW show in Newark, May 17th. May 30th, I'm going to travel up to Jackson Township, Ohio, which is a little bit outside of Akron, Ohio, for the DBI 3, ladies and gentlemen, the Dustin Batdorf Invitational, the third installment of it. I really am very, very happy to be part of this event. All the money is going to go to Summit County drug rehabilitation and drug education programs. You know, it's an important cause, ladies and gentlemen. Get on out. If you're anyways able to get up to Akron,
you should plunk down some money. It's worth a good cause, and I really feel blessed and just honored to be a part of the DBI again. You can check out more information at DBI underscore wrestling on Twitter. Definitely come on out if you can. And in fact, I'm going to try to have some folks representing the DBI 3 right here on the PVDcast 2. I'm working on that. I think I got everything done. And hopefully that will be a reality. Last thing that I want to plug real quick, where I'm going to be the Fort Rapids Toy Show in Columbus, Ohio on Sunday, June 8th. My friends at Big Fun Columbus invited me to come along to do a live PVDcast recording there. I'm very excited for that too. It's right at Fort Rapids Water Park Resort. That's over on 4560 Hilton Corporate Drive in Columbus, Ohio. Showtimes are 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Admission's only $5. You want to get some more information? All you got to go to is ctspromotions.com, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, with that, I'm going to take a quick sip of water and get to Orlando's faves. I got two of them this week. First thing, you know, many people know that Stephen Colbert is leaving the Colbert Report and is going to go take over for David Letterman on The Late Show. That was announced, 6 weeks ago or whatnot. Well, it just came out yesterday of what the replacement show is going to be for Stephen Colbert, and it's going to be Larry Wilmore presents The Minority Report. So it will be in the slot right after The Daily Show at 11:30. Apparently it's described that The Minority Report will feature Larry Wilmore, who serves as senior black correspondent on The Daily Show, and will provide a distinct point of view and comedic take on the day's news from a perspective largely missing in the current late-night landscape, i.e. black people. Larry Wilmore is hilarious as the senior black correspondent. I think this is going to be an awesome show. I really cannot wait for that to hit the airwaves, and that's going to roll out, I think, later on this fall. So I'm really looking forward to that. My other fave is also TV-oriented. I'm a fan of the show on the CW, Arrow. I think it's a good show. There are times where it's a little bit hokey, but I think within an episode, about a good 90% of it is good action and good comic book-oriented fun. I gotta say that this year, this season, the writers, the creators of Arrow have done an awesome job with the character Slade Wilson. So Slade Wilson is my other Orlando's faves. They have done what I think very few TV shows are willing to do, is really make Slade Wilson an unstoppable badass, a juggernaut. And I don't want to be a spoiler on the PVD cast and ruin things, especially for folks who might want to see Season 2 of Arrow, or maybe some folks who are listening that maybe have a couple episodes on the DVR, like I just have last week's episode on the DVR. But Slade Wilson has systematically taken everything from Oliver Queen, and I think that that's awesome. I think it works so well to try to get behind the character of Oliver Queen and Arrow, and by taking everything away from him, see how he responds to that. And I think very few shows do that. Very few shows are willing to make the villain or the bad guy really be a bad guy, so to speak. I mean, just really do every awful and evil thing that they could possibly do to the hero and see how it responds. Big props to the writers and the creators of that show for putting into motion a lot of things over the season that have come to a head just a couple weeks ago with that character Slade Wilson. Wonderfully done. Marvelous. All right. Well, there you go. There was Orlando's faves. You got a dose of Orlando hates. I don't know. Maybe that'll show up again. I don't know. That was just off the cuff. I like it, though. Orlando hates. Anyways, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me, ladies and gentlemen. Follow me on Twitter at PVDMVP. If you want, you can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And as always, check me out in my own personal webpage, pvdcast.com, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I want to thank everybody for listening. Big thanks to DJ Steve OD, who came on to talk a little bit. And if you get a chance, check that dude out. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to sign off, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.